Well, Justin Amler is a policy analyst at the Australia, Israel and Jewish Affairs Council, and he's heavily criticised Grace Tame's actions at the rally that took place in Sydney earlier this week, arguing that her leading of a chant "From Gadigal to Gaza, globalise the Intifada," constituted violent incitement rather than protected free speech. And he's written about this on skynews.com.au and joins us now. Justin, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me.
This is a it's one of those, I guess there's always a fine line between free speech and hate speech, so to speak. But the question I would ask here, and I wonder if this is a mitigating circumstance, is I'm quite confident that Grace Tame has absolutely no idea what Intifada means.
I think you're absolutely right. And I want to make the point, Stephen, that I am absolutely a free speech guy. I believe we should all have the right to be able to have our opinion. I mean, I write columns with my opinion. So it's a fundamental part of living in a democratic, decent, and free country. However, with all free speech, there are also limits. And what Grace Tame did was beyond the limits of what's acceptable in a decent society. Now, I agree with you that I don't think she knows what Intifada is. You know, there's this, we often hear this view that Intifada is a shaking off, I think what people often say, a shaking off of things. No, it's not. Intifada is a violent form of what they call resistance. We only have to look at Israel. In the second Intifada, which was a period from around about 2000 to 2005, over 1,000 Israelis were murdered in this Intifada. And I'm talking about people being blown up on buses in pizzerias. I mean, Can you imagine for a second climbing onto a bus, as we all do, and not knowing if someone is climbing on the bus next to you, strapped with a bomb that could kill you?
Well, if you had asked me that question in November, I would have said, no, I can't imagine it. But after Bondi, I think we all can imagine that these things happen.
Absolutely. And Bondi, I think, was a really big wake-up call to the average Australian who might not have been exposed to this. And by Grace Tame shouting globalized Intifada, what that is calling for that violence that we saw in Israel over that period to be globalized around the world. And we are actually seeing the effects of this. And that's why I said in the article, this isn't just some kind of abstract saying. There are actually real results from this. In America, we saw two Israeli workers at an embassy gunned down coming out of the Washington Museum. We saw a protester, an Israeli, or someone protesting for the release of the hostages, get attacked at a demonstration in Boulder in America. They died. They were burnt. They were set on fire, and they died. And now, of course, we've seen Bondi. We've seen people murdered at a Hanukkah event.
Justin, a lot of people would say, and this is the problem I have with hate speech laws whenever they're passed, is they talk about what a reasonable person would determine or interpret the speech to mean. In this particular case, you'd say, well, you'd like to say that the people in that crowd probably are smart enough to know that, you know, there shouldn't be some armed uprising. But having said that, we had 10 police officers assaulted, so clearly there is a penchant for violence amongst some of these people.
Absolutely, and I believe that's always been the intention. And we can't just look at the protesters from the other day as an isolated event. What we need to remember is that a few days after the October 7 massacre in 2023, we saw these kind of demonstrations on the Sydney at the Sydney Opera House, and they weren't shouting for peaceful coexistence. They were shouting, F the Jews, where are the Jews? And they were burning Israeli flags. This is not a movement that gives you any sense that they want some kind of peaceful coexistence. Their intentions are violent, and they came out on the protest on Monday. They came out with violent intentions, which is why they were assaulted, which is why I think 27 were arrested. Police were assaulted. And they defied the orders. They weren't banned from protesting, but what they did is they defied the orders to keep them in a certain area. They decided, no, they're not going to follow the rules. They're going to make up their own rules, and that's what led to the confrontation.
There's a couple of things that I always think here, and I think about the definitions of terrorism, and obviously we see the worst example of that in Australian history in what happened in Bondi with 15 people, innocent people murdered, but it's about the fear that it creates more broadly in the community. And I've seen it myself when I've attended Jewish events here in Canberra. that whilst we haven't been subject to it ourselves here in Canberra, the level of security and the level of fear amongst the Jewish community, I find extraordinary. As somebody that has to live through that every day, talk us through what goes through your mind when you're doing mundane tasks like, you know, going to work, taking the kids to school, going to do the grocery shopping or whatever.
You know, it's a great question, Stephen, and I think a lot of Australians just can't really relate to that so much, but it's everything you do, you kind of always, how can I say, you're surveying the environment. I know when I went to a lighting of the Hanukkah menorah, you know, the candles, I walked there. It was at an event in Melbourne, actually, down in Mordialloc. And as I'm walking there, there were quite a lot of police. I'm actually scouring the buildings around me. I'm actually looking at the buildings and seeing if there's someone on top of the building in some kind of threatening position. I know it sounds odd, but these are the kind of things that we often subconsciously do, because this doesn't come from, you know, and it doesn't come from an unfounded fear. It comes from a very real fear. And I think we adapt our everyday lives into that. Every time you have a Jewish event, as you said, you'll notice the loss of security. And if you identify with Jewish, it's even more so. I mean, I wear the Star of David around my neck, and yep. I wear it proudly. But, you know, anyone can see that. I don't hide it. I mean, you know, some people say, oh, maybe you should, but I don't want to. It's part of my identity. And that immediately, I realize that makes me a target.
Yeah,
and it's a kind of thing you live with, but it shouldn't be like that.
I wear a crucifix, and you should have every right to wear the Star of David, just like I do. So, like I wear a crucifix, but I, you know, it's something that occurred to me last year. I was at an event at the National Library, and I was at the cafe at the front, and there was a group of probably about six or seven young Hasidic blokes, and they're pretty, you know, distinguishable in the way they dress. And the first thing that occurred to me was, geez, they're brave being out at night. And then I thought I should go up and say, you know what, I'm here. I support you guys. And all that. They shouldn't have to fear being out, and I shouldn't have to go and tell them that I support them, because they should be just like anyone else.
Absolutely, and that's what makes it so, I guess, heartbreaking in a country like Australia, which is a great, decent country with decent people. That these are the kind of thoughts that go through our mind. You know, these kind of we have to not rationalize. We have to like think about how everyday people live, like that. You have to think about these type of security concerns. And I mean, I should just say, with Grace, if we just go back to Grace for one moment, when she made those statements, if you look at the video, she's not saying it in some kind of calm, rational manner. This was fierce. This was a virtual hatred. And that's what the Jewish community have been dealing with for over 2 years now. It's this kind of like a real, you know, hatred. It's scary. I think it's a scary kind of thing to know that people like this are in our society, and they don't even know the information, but they are still so prepared to speak in this terrible, hateful tone that is very, very intimidating.
I posted on social media about this, saying that, you know, somebody needs to explain to them that it's 15 minutes of fame, not 15 years. But somebody responded saying she wouldn't even be able to pick Palestine on a map. And I said, well, of course not, because it doesn't exist. But I want to ask what you think needs to happen next, because I was critical of the recalling of Parliament to pass new laws, because we don't enforce the existing ones we've got. And there have been calls to strip Grace Tame of her Australian of the Year award, which I think, well, that was back in 2021. It only lasts a year. There's no point stripping it now. But what do you want to see happen next?
Look, I think, you know, I think it's not necessarily just about the laws, okay? It's about the will to actually enact those laws. There's paid speech laws, but it's about carrying out those laws, about actually implementing them properly, about having the will to implement them. I think that's what's fundamentally missing. And this requires a commitment across all levels of government and security to actually take the laws we have. Yes, we do. I'm not saying we don't need some new laws, perhaps, but I'm just saying to actually enforce what we have. And to just show, and to actually basically say, this is not allowed, this is not okay in our country, this is not acceptable. And part of why, you know, anti-Semitism just basically exploded in this country and went out of control was the lack of enforcement from the very beginning. You know, right after October 7th, in fact, that might have even been that night, there were hate preachers in the streets saying this is a day of courage, this is a day of celebration.
Yeah.
On the Sydney Opera House, they were burning flags, they were screaming F the Jews. Mm. You know, this is really scary stuff. And what happened? I think there was one person arrested for carrying an Israeli flag. Yeah. There we go.
One last thing before I let you go. I saw an interview online yesterday with Marnie Perlstein, who's been a fairly vocal member of the Jewish community, who says that she's spoken to many Australian Jews who are now saying they don't feel safe here and they're going to move somewhere else. And some of them saying they feel safer in Israel, which, you know, anybody that watches the TV and sees, you know, the things that go on in Israel would find that extraordinary. What has been your experience and what are your fellow Jewish Australians telling you?
Look, this is not a conversation not heard. This is a conversation that I hear a lot, and for, you know, a lot of the reasons that we've discussed today. I do think though that, you know, this is still our home. We are still the Australian Jewish community, are Australians mm-hmm. as well. You know, this is our country. This is where, you know, our kids grew up. This is where we live, and we have the same rights, or we still have the same rights as anyone else to live in safety and security. So I absolutely understand that sentiment, but this is still our home, and we should, you know, we should be entitled to the same security as others.
Justin, I really appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much.
Justin Amelow, the policy analyst at the Australia-Israel Jewish Affairs Council.